family after the service, I'd love to meet you at the local area. We've got a free gift for all of our first-time guests today. We're just excited to have you here with us. Thank you so much for being here today. My name's Mark. I'm the pastor. We're excited to have you here. Let me say something real quick, though, and you'll probably hear some more about it at the end. You'll hear about several things like this coming up for a while now as we're into this Christmas season. So out there in the lobby, Dana's looking at you. You have some families left out there? Okay, so last week we announced our annual Christmas event for families here in the community. Is December the 17th at 5 o'clock. And that event is something we do not publicize online. The reasoning behind that is because we get lists of names from LKLP, local school resource centers, all kinds of organizations. Dana does a phenomenal job. Dana does a lot of work for this event. We love Dana. And this is a lot of work for the kids. She contacts these families, and we get their list sizes and that sort of thing. And we guarantee that the families that show up, we have gifts ready for them. Over in the student building, the families can get those. They give them out to their kids on Christmas morning. But that's why we don't publicize it on Facebook, because we prepare for people we know are coming. And there are some names and families out there. If you want to adopt a family or a couple of names or whatever, those cards are out there. Take those with you. If we run out today, which in all likelihood we will after the 11th if we're not out by the end of this service, we are getting more names this week from several other organizations. So if you go out there or whatever, so maybe 11, we're out. Well, we're out today. Next week we'll have more. Okay? So that is that's December the 17th. By the way, if you want to help with that or not to shine, maybe missed last week, we got approved last week from the Tim Tebow Foundation to be a host site. Night to Shine, that's February the 19th. So we're looking for volunteers for both of those events. A lot of you signed up, maybe somebody missed last week. All that info is at the welcome area. All right? Hey, would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you that you are right here today. And Father, I pray that for all of us who gather not to hear from a preacher or anything like that, God, we come to be with you. We come because we need something from you. We need to encounter you, God. We need our hearts and our minds lifted up. There's somebody in the room today needs some hope. Somebody in the room today needs some encouragement. Somebody in the room today needs life. And so, God, I pray that you would meet us where we are. I pray, God, that you would just speak today in ways. There's no way I'm going to be able to. There's no way that a human can speak to every need and heart in the room. But God, thankfully, and so, Jesus, you said your word will never return to you. So let your word, your truth, have its way in our lives today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Ask your question. My hand is already up in the affirmative. How many of you already have a Christmas tree up in your house? Put your hands up. That's a good number of hands. There's no shame. Some of you would like this right here. Okay? Like you were about to. No, my hand's up. Okay, let's do another one. How many of you this Christmas season will put something Jesus-y up in your house? Raise your hand. That's almost every single hand in the room. Okay, get my hands up. We've already got things up. Here's the deal. There are two times a year, like the season, that we're about to go into. Easter and Christmas are two times a year where Jesus is everywhere. Right? I mean, you're going to be checking out at Walmart, Food City, some grocery store, and there's Jesus on the cover of a magazine. You're going to see TV specials about Jesus. Every year at Christmas, there's always a new Christmas movie that comes out. I think there's another one coming out here in a couple of weeks, some Jesus movie. And you're going to hear Jesus is the reason for the season. You're going to see things on TV. You're going to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special and Linus is going to tell you about Jesus in a way only Linus can. Every single year. Jesus is just everywhere. Every single Christmas, and here's the deal, it is possible Jesus could be all over your house this Christmas. I mean, you got Jesus decorations all over every single room, but there's no room for him in your heart. Man, it's possible to tell people the Christmas story and to tell people, put it on Facebook, Jesus is the reason for the season, but your life is so stuffed with all kinds of things. And you're going to feel so stressed this season that there's going to be hardly any room at all for Jesus. And so we are less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. I don't know if you knew that or not. Less than 2 weeks. The Sunday after Thanksgiving is the beginning of Advent season. Now, we use the word Advent a lot. We're like, that's a new word. Come back Sunday after Thanksgiving. And that's after you're in Advent season. It's the five Sundays leading up to Christmas, beginning after Thanksgiving. And so we are less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, beginning of the Advent season. And so what we're doing today is not a series. What we're doing today, the next Sunday, is really one sermon broken up into two parts. I'm going to call it Preparing Room, what I'm going to call it. All right? Preparing Room, not in our lives, not your house, rather, not on Facebook, not just simply, you know, lip service for the season or whatever. I'm talking about preparing room in your heart for Jesus. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of today like the 30,000 foot big view. And then next week is part two. And next week we're going to get very practical how to do this. But today is big aerial 30,000 foot view of what are we talking about when we have this idea of preparing room in our lives for Jesus. So I want you to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 8 if you've got a Bible. Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 to 38. Words are already on the screen, but I always encourage you, use the Bible that you use. So if you bring a Bible, that's great. You can take notes in it. You use the Bible app on your phone, that's great. You can highlight, underline, whatever you need to do. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And here's the deal, man. If you've been in church any length of time, these are so familiar, you've got this memorized, whether you realize it or not. I'm just going to try to engage with this first time. Okay, if it's possible, we're just trying to engage with these verses like it's the first time you ever heard it. Be better if you can engage with it as if you were there hearing Jesus say it first time. Let's go. Then Jesus called the crowds to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Let's just leave these verses here up on the screen. Again, this is the first time you've ever heard this. Remember, that's how we're acting this morning. You're right there with Jesus when he says it. Don't look at me. Look at the screen. Look at some of the things that Jesus says here. If you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to lose your life. You have to carry your cross. I want you to imagine for a second. Imagine that you're at Walmart this afternoon, right after church, and somebody you've never met in your entire life walks up to you and says those exact words. Are you going to Walmart just looking for paper towels? And somebody comes up to you in the paper towel aisle and says, "Hey man, listen, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You're going to have to carry your cross in the need to follow me." What would you do at Walmart this afternoon if that happened? You would call security. You would grab the kids and get out of Dodge, man. You would get out of there as fast as you possibly could. Because surely, the only way somebody would say this to people is if, one, they're crazy, or two, they're actually God. So let me ask you a question. Don't answer this out loud. Answer this to yourself. It's going to be on the screen. Who do you think Jesus is? Don't give me your churchy answers, all right? I mean, who does your heart show that you really think Jesus is? Who does your life show that you really believe Jesus is? Teenagers, who do you believe Jesus is? You believe. Not who does your mom and dad think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? Parents, grandparents, single ladies, guys, who do you think Jesus is? Here's the deal. If you were to walk up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, who do you think you are?" It's clear from the verses that we read, Jesus thinks he is someone that we should follow with our whole lives. That's what he is. So who is that man? And what does that mean for you and me here today? There's two things. If we're really going to make room for Jesus in our lives, two things we need to see straight out of this passage. Out of Mark chapter 8. Two things we need to see. And here's the two things. We need to see the call. And we need to see the promise. So let's start with the call. The first thing Jesus says here, he gives us the call. If you've got your Bible open there, go ahead and open it up. Look at it again with me there in Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, and he says, whoever wants to follow me, that's you, that's me. In the 11 o'clock, that's going to be everybody that's watching online, on Facebook and YouTube, whenever and wherever they're watching from. Whoever wants to follow me, Jesus says, must be his disciple. That's exactly right. Notice that if you've got your Bible open, Jesus doesn't say, whoever wants to follow me will be a Christian. And listen to me, everybody, check that. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what he says. Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me must be my disciple. Man, so we got to know, what is a disciple? Well, if you're taking notes, here's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who, by the power of the Spirit, is following Jesus. So if I walk up to you in the lobby and I say, hey, are you a Christian? And you say, yeah, what you just told me is I'm a disciple. And again, that doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you've got life figured out, like you said at the baptism. It means that you've met Jesus in such a way that he's changed your life and you want to follow him. And so to follow Jesus is to be a disciple. Now, here's what disciples do. According to Jesus, Mark chapter 8, disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. Now, lead us up here. Here's what I want you to imagine, that you are a first century person in the audience when Jesus says this for the first time. Go say it out loud. Look at the words on the screen. What words stick out to you there? You're there hearing Jesus, first century, very first time in the audience. He says this. What words, as you're sitting here, jump off the screen to you? Let me tell you the answer that would have jumped off to the page to everyone hearing Jesus for the first time. It's the phrase, take up there, what's the next word? Cross. Now see, you and I, thousands of years separated from when this originally happened, we see those, and I don't know what jumps out to you. But the day that we live in, and again, I'm not knocking this, so don't hear that this is a negative at all. But you can go to the store and buy a jewelry cross and wear it. You can have a cross on a keychain. You can have a cross on a bumper sticker of your car. And again, I'm not knocking that at all. But you need to understand that for people hearing Jesus say this thousands of years ago, when people were actually being crucified, they would have thought that is unimaginable. That someone would say, you need to make the choice to willingly pick up a cross and carry it. See, in Jesus' day, the cross represented shame. But crucifixion was meant to dehumanize the person being crucified. So if you've ever read the Bible and you've ever wondered, man, Jesus is walking around and doing miracles and doing all this stuff, why is it that after he comes back to life, he's really only got barely 100 people following him? Why doesn't everybody choose to believe in Jesus? One of the reasons that most people rejected Jesus was crucifixion. Because those Jews listening to Jesus, they knew Deuteronomy chapter 21 says that anyone who is hanged on a tree, crucifixion, is cursed. And so Jesus is walking around telling people that he's going to die. They put two and two together. They knew this was crucifixion. There's no way God would be crucified. People who died on the cross usually did not die from crucifixion. Usually they died from suffocation, just the weight of their body pressing down after hours on the cross. They just couldn't breathe. Then eventually birds would come and then birds would just begin to eat their flesh and just begin to eat the people on the cross. And crucifixion wasn't something that you felt only in your hands and your feet. You felt it all over your body. I know in all of the movies and the images that we've seen of Jesus on the cross or anybody on the cross, it's always, and it's graphic as it might be, for maybe you saw The Passion of the Christ, and that was rated R. Listen, there's no way that you could actually put on screen or in an image what it was like when somebody was crucified. They were crucified naked. Why? Because exactly what you're thinking. How embarrassing that must be. It is meant to strip away your humanity, not just to kill you. And Jesus says, you've got to grab them. Pick it up. And that's how you follow. What does Jesus mean when he says to you and me that if we're going to follow him, we have to carry our cross? Here's what it means. It's simply this. Carrying the cross equals whole life surrender. That's it. So Jesus says, listen, if anybody's going to follow me, they have to pick up their cross and surrender their entire lives. And so the cross always equals death. This is really hard for you and me because carrying the cross means we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves, to our own desires, to our own wants. We got to say no to ourselves. Like we talked about last week, if Jesus is really going to be the Lord of our lives. And here's the deal. You start talking about picking up your cross, dying to yourself. Ain't nobody gets excited about sermons like this. Like so far, nobody stood up, just bumped their neighbor and said, yeah, man, we love this kind of stuff. Bring it. You know, some of you are like, is this over? Is he okay? He's usually so much more heavy. I like the older one. What happened? Here's the deal. I'm not trying to be one of these angry preachers. I'm not trying to be like legalistic or anything like that. But I am really pressing in on this point because I think it's so important. Here in the Bible Belt, if you're with me, say uh-huh. I think it's so important right here in the Bible Belt where Christianity is just assumed as part of the air that we breathe. I'm really trying to press in on this point so that you wouldn't think that Christianity is simply praying a prayer and going to heaven when you die. Did you notice that Jesus, in those verses up there, right there in Mark chapter 8 on your Bible, it was on the screen, Jesus talks about anybody who wants to follow me that lose their life and gain all of the things, man. Nothing about heaven. Jesus never said to anybody, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And listen, son, heaven is going to be off the chain. But Jesus never said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And again, heaven is going to be amazing. I'm just trying to get us in on this, that Christianity is not praying a prayer and then waiting to go to heaven. Christianity is following Jesus. It's dying to ourselves. It's he's Lord. And I'm learning how not to be the Lord of my life. Now, make no mistake about it. Christianity starts with a prayer of repentance and faith. Amen? Romans 10, 9 and 10, man, if you need two verses on it. Right? Whoever confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord, believing in their heart, God raised him from the dead, will be saved. Man, what is that? Man, that's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of repentance. But on the other side of that prayer, y'all, is following Jesus. And so the call is for you and me to follow Jesus, to surrender our entire lives to him. Think about it like this. Have you ever been over to somebody's house? I do. You ever been over to somebody's house and they invite you over and you go to their house? And they say, hey, we're so excited you're here. Make yourself at home. You know, so you're hanging out, you're walking around, and you're just walking through their house, and man, you can go anywhere. But there's this one door to this one room that's closed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right, you go to my house, we have that. And the reason we have that door closed is because we knew you were coming, and so we just picked everything that was on the floor up and threw it in that room and shut the door. Right, I don't know if that's how anybody else froze, but that's what we did. And we claimed it was really just all up in that room and just shut the door. Right? And so you're over, and like you're hanging out, you're in the kitchen, you're in the living room, and you're just making yourself at home, and there's this one door. And you just can't go in that room, but you can go everywhere else. Hey, did you know you can do that with Jesus in your life? Jesus, come on in, make yourself at home. Don't go in that back room. Because that back room is what I do with my money. That's my money. Jesus, I'm so excited that you're here. Don't go in that back room, though. Because listen, Jesus, that back room is how I think about my relationships, sexuality, all of the other things. Jesus, I'm so glad that you're in my life now, but please don't go in this other room because that's how I use my time. And I've got some things in that room that nobody knows about. It'd be really good if you just don't get near that room. And I love this quote here. It's on the screen. When confronted by the call to discipleship, disciples do not have a both and choice, both Christ and their own lives. They stand before an either or choice. The claim of Jesus is a total and exclusive one. It does not allow a convenient compartmentalization of natural life and religious life, of secular and sacred. The whole person stands under Christ's claim. And that's what Jesus called us to. Not to have a Sunday-only faith. Not to have a Jesus welcome into the house of my life, but don't go in that back room because I got some stuff going on in that back room. It's Jesus. Let's go. If the call is to follow you, then Jesus, I want to open up my entire life, surrender my entire life. Here's the question, though. Why would you follow Jesus to that degree? If the call is surrender your whole life to him, then what do you get in return? And that leads us to the last one. There's the call. The call is to follow with our whole lives. Then we get the promise. You got your Bible open, look at it again. I want to read verses 35 to 37. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? What's Jesus talking about here? Jesus is speaking to this desire that every single one of us has this morning, whether you're a Christian or not, doesn't matter who you are. Jesus is speaking to the desire that all of us have to build a life, to have purpose, to be happy, to have joy. Some people call it the good life. You call it whatever you want to call it. Jesus is talking about the desire that every single one of us has to build a life. And here's the deal. What we're told is that if we want to build a life, one way to do that is, man, if you want to have a good life, you got to get all the money that you can. And so some people, that's the path that they go down, just trying to get all of the money and all of the things that they can get because they believe that capitalism or more money or being rich or whatever, some kind of house, square footage, that is the path to life. Others of us, maybe you haven't bought into that. Some people think that the path to life is just hooking up with all kinds of people. Relationship to relationship, dating, and all kinds of things like that. That is the path to life. Or maybe the political party that I'm in, maybe that political party, maybe that politician, they've got the path to life. Maybe they're going to be the savior that I'm looking for. Here's what you want to do, and man, this is one of the reasons that we started this church. And everybody ought to do this. The exact same scrutiny that you put Christianity under. How do we know that Jesus really raised from the dead? Why should we believe the Bible? How do we know any of this is true? Listen, I love those questions. We started this church because this is a safe place for questions like that. Pastor of this church, man, I'm not intimidated or freaked out by those questions whatsoever. I'm in with those kind of conversations. You're not going to ask a question about Christianity that no one in this church hasn't already voiced. Amen? So maybe you've got doubts, you've got questions, you've got concerns, bring them here, man, because it doesn't threaten us. It's not an offense to God. Church ought to be the place where you can ask those questions and try to dig up the answers. But here's the deal. I hope with as much scrutiny as we put Christianity and the Bible under, when you hear somebody tell you this is the path to life, you ought to put that path to life under the exact same kind of scrutiny. So when people tell you if money is the path to freedom, here's the question. How's that working? More stuff's the path to freedom. How does that work for you? More sex and follow your own heart and just expressing your sexuality and following your desires. How's that work for you? The politicians and your political party, they're going to lead us to the promised land. How's that working for us? Well, I just did some research this week. Look at this on the screen. I think we've got some of these up here. Look at these headlines are on the screen. Earlier this year, we can go to the next one here, Mark. Go ahead, buddy. Here we go. There it is right there. Look at these, man. Listen, can I just say something? What I'm about to do for you, what I'm about to show you, this could be less than five. None of these are Christians. None of these are Christian publications. This is from Vice, a study that was done. This was just earlier this year, this study came out. Young people, this will be 16 to 23 years old. Young people are lonelier than ever. 30% said they don't know how to make new friends and they've never felt more alone. That's the world you live in right now, 16, 23 years old. Go to the next one, Parker. Look at this. This was earlier this year. Surgeon General Advisory raises an alarm about the devastating impact of the epidemic of loneliness and isolation in the United States. That loneliness is at an epidemic level here in America. Go to the next one. Look at this. The U.S. has a mental health crisis that can undermine our democracy, U.S. Surgeon General says. Listen, we can go on and on. Here's the deal. We live in a world where we've never been more connected. I mean, literally. Some of you are reading the Bible right now. The world is in your hand. Your phone is connecting you to people and places you have never been. We are more connected than we've ever been in the history of civilization, and at the same time, the lonelier thing. You're bored, you're thirsty for something, I know there's got to be more to life. If you think, hey, a weekend at the beach is going to do it. Some of you, you can afford that weekend at the beach, and you get back and you're still thirsty. Well, then you know what? It's not this relationship, it's this relationship over here. And then you get in that relationship, and you're still hungry. And we're still searching. We're on this path where underneath all of the things that we've acquired, underneath all of the things that this country and this world gives us, we are searching for something. Go to the next screen, Parker. You don't know who that is. This is a woman named Ayan Hirsi Ali. She's a researcher at Stanford University, and for several years, she was one of the most outspoken atheists in the world. Wrote books, wrote articles. She was a former Muslim, raised in a very strict Muslim home, rejected that when she moved to America, became an atheist, and she's been an outspoken atheist for years until this week when she announced that she had become a Christian. She wrote an article about it, and I'll link to it later on Facebook if you're interested. It's pretty long. But in the article, she gives reasons for why she is now a Christian. And she says this, go to the next one. I have turned to Christianity because I ultimately found life without any spiritual solace unendurable, indeed very nearly self-destructive. Here's the quote. Check this out. Atheism failed to answer a simple question. What is the meaning and purpose? Enter Jesus Christ, who in Mark 8 is answering that question. What is the meaning of prophecy? Well, if we pass the mic around, we might get a lot of different answers. But what if the person who answers that question is the person who made it? Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me must carry the cross, but not themselves. And follow me, and if they do, they will gain life. Jesus talks about gaining the world and losing our soul. What does Jesus mean when he talks about soul? A lot of us, when we think soul is this part of us that doesn't really impact our lives, but that's the part of us that goes to heaven when we die. That's not what Jesus in first century audiences would have thought. The soul is the truest part of who you are. It's the truest part of who you are. And Jesus says, if you want to find life, you don't find life by keeping your life. You don't find life by pursuing your life. You don't build a life by pursuing yourself. You build a life by pursuing Jesus and following him. Jesus says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? You gain the whole world and lose your soul. So here's the deal. If you don't follow Jesus, you will just follow something else. Some of you are here and you're following the American dream. And you think that the American dream is the path to life. And you're looking around and you're constantly trying to chase this thing. And for some reason, no matter how much promotion you get, how many races you get, it's not coming. Some of you, you're following what your friends are thinking. Some of you, you're following what your boss wants. You're following what the world wants. You're following what people online, we don't even know what they tell us we need. And here's the deal. Whatever you follow becomes your master. Whatever you follow becomes your master. So you may think that following Jesus sounds crazy the entire time. You are following something that has become your master. And can I just say something? Jesus is the only one that when you follow him, he will never reject you. Your boss can look at you and say, I will never leave you. But Jesus can. Your job can look at you and say, I will never leave you. Jesus can. Look at your friends, this your family, closest people around you, can't look at you and say, not even death can separate you from me. Jesus can. Jesus is the only master that when you fail, says to you,
You are loved and perfectly accepted.
Do you want to know what Jesus is like? Let me tell you what Jesus is like. Look at what Jesus says about himself. Go to the next slide, I think it is, Mark. Look at what Jesus says about himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. John 10:11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Let's do one more. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the water. Everybody say, and the life. Life. I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So many people have this idea that Jesus actually holds us back from life. Here's Jesus saying he's actually the path to life. So here's the deal. We're done. So moving into this Christmas season, the tiffany scene in your house, Jesus is the reason for the season on your Facebook page. Then do you have Jesus, room for him, in your heart? Are you following him with your life? And so you might be here, and there might be two different audiences, so let's do one. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. And maybe you've never given your life to Jesus because maybe one of the reasons is because you've heard all kinds of crazy things about Jesus. One, that there's no way Jesus would love somebody like you. There's no way that God would forgive somebody like you. And listen, can I just tell you, Jesus came exactly for somebody like you. When I invite people to Jesus, like I'm inviting all of you to Jesus, I'm not inviting you to me. I'm not inviting you to this church. I'm not inviting you to accept this sermon into your life. This sermon is not much, okay? I'm inviting you to Jesus. When I invite somebody to Jesus, look at me. This is really important. I am not inviting you to rules. I'm not inviting you this morning to suck it up and try hard. I am inviting you to life. And Jesus says, listen, if you want to come to me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Say, Lord, how in the world do you do that? Start this way. Jesus, I want you to be Lord. Then I am done trying to do the body of Jesus. I'm with you. Listen, it literally does not matter what you did or where you were last night. If you will come to Jesus like that, you will leave today, child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the other audience here, a lot of you, I know, you are followers. Since 2020, I've had the same conversations with pastors, local pastors, all over the country. Same conversations with pastors. Pastors say this to me all the time. Mark, I don't know what it is, but something has changed since 2020. I don't know what it is, Mark. I can't put my finger on it. I can't even really describe it. But something about the church has changed since 2020. And I can't put my finger on it either, but let's just think about it. 2020 and since then, we were inundated with the idea that church is just not essential. It's not essential. And so a lot of people took the church as not essential idea and said, you know what, faith is probably not that essential either. They just figured out how to navigate life with a little bit of Jesus and mostly you doing whatever you want, that sort of thing. And then the pandemic ended and life opened back up again. The churches, you know, kind of got the groove back again. And so maybe you're here, but for some reason or another, your faith in Jesus and your walk with the Lord really has not gotten back to where it once was essential. I don't know what it was. Maybe your relationship with Jesus shifted into neutral. And so you've got time for Jesus. If you've got time for Jesus, can I just tell you something real quick? The world does not need the church to shift it. Man, the world needs the church to follow Jesus. That's it. And so I'm not inviting you today to try hard. I'm not inviting you today to wind up doing something up. I'm inviting you to shift out of neutral and say, Jesus, listen. I want to follow you. If there's a room in your life that's been closed off to Jesus the past couple of years, I'm just inviting you to open that door. Because when you open that door, all you will get is life. Pray for me today. Jesus, I just thank you. None of us are invited today to suck it up and try. Not a single person in the room today is invited to you. 10 rules. 5 steps. 3 things. Jesus, we're invited to 1 person. And that person is you. And so Jesus, I thank you that you stepped into a broken and hurting and hungry and searching world. And you said, listen, there is a path to life. And so that same Jesus is entering into this room at this very moment by the Holy Spirit. And I just believe he's saying to somebody, there is light today for you. I know you've been through some stuff, and I know you've been searching, and I know you've tried all kinds of stuff. There is life for you today. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, man, the invitation is not to me or this church. The invitation is to Jesus and to life. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you come to this church every single week. If you're a follower of Jesus, listen to the invitation. What if this whole church were to say today, Jesus, we want to follow you. It's been a while since we said it, but Jesus, we're here. And so maybe you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, but you just kind of shifted into different. Kind of close some doors off. All we're inviting you people to do is to make room for Jesus. Open up some doors. Let the windows open so that the Spirit of God would blow through and live in. Father, we come to you today because you are beautiful and you are worthy of our lives. And so Jesus, we hear the call to follow. We hear the promise to life. And I pray that got anything in the way you would tear it down. Just ask you a question this morning. How many of you would say, Mark, I'm a follower of Jesus, but there have been some doors and some rooms closed in my life, and today I want to open those doors back up to God. Thank you. Would you just put your hand up this morning? Anybody in the room just to say, I need to open up some places in my heart again. There's a hand. Another one right there. Here's the deal. We've got prayer team members who are right here up front. If you need prayer this morning, why don't you just step out of this aisle? We would love to pray over you, encourage you. If you have never given your life to Jesus, never given your life to Jesus, but today you want to, you want to talk to somebody about our prayer teams up here. They'd love to pray over you. If you need prayer for anything, maybe we didn't talk about this morning. We want to invite you to come up front. But if you just raised your hand, man, right there in your seat, you can open that door again. Right there where you're at, right here in this room. You don't have to leave today and try to play in 15 hoops you've got to jump through to get life. Listen, all you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm coming back. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man left justified. That man left a child of God. That's all it takes because Jesus paid it all. And so, Jesus, we're just coming to you today, and we want to open up rooms again. And God, for some of us, that means we need to say, God, we confess some stuff today. We got to get honest about some junk today. And maybe it just kind of got piled up in our hearts over the past couple of years. Maybe bitterness has set in. Cynicism has set in. We're walking around, we're angry, and we've got things in our lives that God, we're not telling anybody. We got all kinds of secrets built up. Or Jesus, we're just running and running and running, and for some reason we're not finding life. You are life. So God, we're just coming back to you today. Got 2 weeks ahead of the Advent season to say we want to have room in our lives for you. We want to make room. We want to open up our hearts to say, Jesus, we want you in. So if you just put your hand up, or maybe you didn't. If you need to say that to God, can I just give you 15 seconds to do that? Just take some time right now and say to God whatever you need to say to him. Open up some doors in your life. Let some windows open so that the Spirit of God can move in again. And if you just feel like you need to say, Jesus, we just bring new life into my heart. Just breathe some new life into my soul today. Take some time to say whatever you need to say to me. How many of you here, you've never given your life to Jesus? And here's the deal. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you're not ready to today. And I get that. But maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you're not ready to make that decision today, but you need to talk to somebody. I'm just saying, don't leave today until you ask those questions. I'll be out in the lobby. We've got prayer team members who are still up front. You can come up to them after the service. Don't leave today until you start the conversation you know you need to start. But But maybe here you've never given your life to Jesus, and something inside of you in the past few minutes has said, Jesus is the path to life that you need to go to. And I'm just telling you, that is not me, that's not the sermon, that is the Holy Spirit inviting you into the family of God this very day. And so today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything at all. But maybe you're like, Mark, I don't know what to do. I'm about to pray a prayer. You're not praying this prayer to me. These are not magic words. I'm just trying to help you express what might be happening in your heart. But if you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and save me today. God, I give my life to you for the very first time. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me, dying for me, coming back from the dead for me. God, I give my life to you right now. Now, again, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but if you just pray that prayer, or maybe you didn't, but you know today, you'd say, I need to talk to somebody about what it means to follow Jesus. If that's you, would you put your hand up so I can just pray for you today? Anybody in the room would say, I just pray that prayer today. I'm going to give my life to Jesus, or I need to talk to somebody in this service. Just anybody at all. Now, here's the deal. If you raise your hand, maybe you didn't, but you know I'm talking to you. In just a minute, I'm going to ask everybody to fill out a connection card. It's a card in the back of the seat in front of you. Take that card, check the box, says, I want to be a Christian, I want to know about following Jesus. We'd love to get in touch with you this week, that Jesus is weak. Just bring this service to a close. The call and the promise are true. We'll be true tomorrow, true every day this week. Jesus, you call us, you invite us to follow you, and what we get is life, we get you. So, Jesus, we love you. God, as we move into the time of receiving our offering, Father, I pray that what we give would be out of a response of love. God, we want to see hazards in Kentucky and the world confess and know that Jesus is God, we love you. That's awesome and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, right now, I want to ask everybody if they would go ahead and grab those connection cards. Those are in the back of the seat in front of you. Go ahead and grab that card. Fill that out as much as you can or you'd like. And let us know what God did in your life today. If you're here, maybe you want to volunteer here, get plugged in here today. Check the box says you want to volunteer. You want to be baptized. Give your life to Jesus. All of those things. Let us know how we can pray for you, what God did in your life. You can drop those connection cards in the offering baskets as they go around. Some of you have been asking to help us receive the offering. You go ahead, you guys, women who were asked, go ahead and get in position. You can help us receive the offering right now. And as always, you can get here. Thank you so much. Your generosity, because your generosity makes the ministries of this church happen and are possible. And so I just want to thank you so much for giving. We already prayed for the offering. So when you guys are ready to go, you can begin to receive those cards, you can receive the offering, and if you miss the baskets, you can come to us at the welcome area, give your connection cards, or whatever. Hey, before we get to this, I'm going to say again what I said at the beginning. Believe the data is already out there at the table with information about families. If you'd like to pick you up a sponsor, if they're out and you get there, go for it. We'll have more people volunteer for the Christmas event. Or Night to Shine, all of that is at the local area. And tonight at 6 is Equip and our students. Equip at 6, students at 6, and our students on the table. Love to have you there. All right, guys, God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks. I'm going to go for a water.